You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Yeah, I like exercises like this because, again, they help us understand how we feel about the team and what direction we want them to go. They're not necessarily 100% built in reality, but the way we answer them gives us a direction to move forward. So I always believe that you know, the general manager in most sports is sort of the most interesting job. That's just the way I view sports. Everybody kind of has their own view of you know, why you watch and what you like. I like watching sports, but I love the off season. I love the concept of trying to build a better mousetrap, right? Trying to put together a team that will have success and do it in an interesting, unique, and fun way. So, I mean, baseball is probably my favorite sport, has been my whole life. And a big part of the reason why is I always just, you know, the whole idea of putting together a baseball team, off-season baseball, hot stove, all of that is just as interesting as regular season baseball to me. Trying to find that player that is going to complete the puzzle for you is just I think it's the most interesting thing for me. So when you get to this time of year in football, which is where a lot of our conversation will go, then I think it's interesting to try to figure out what direction we want the Seahawks to go. So I ask you this question. I got a ton of people on the phones here, so I want to grab these. 206-421-3776. If the Seahawks had $100 million to spend in free agency this offseason, where would you spend it? Offense? Defense? Would you put $80 million in one place, $20 million somewhere else? Would you go $100 million in one place, split it 50-50? When you look at what ails them and the direction they need to go based on the personnel they have, the coaching staff they have, and everything else put together, where would you spend their money? My answer, for the record, I would spend almost all my money on defense. Not 100%. Probably need a center. So of my $100 million, I'm not using real money, so it's really a percentage. I'll take some 15%, and I understand Jake and others who have been all over the need for a center. I'm with you. I got you. I get it. And we were talking about it earlier. The Seahawks really have had trouble at the center position since they traded Max Unger.
Yep.
And that's really when the offensive line kind of fell off a cliff once Unger left. So, all right, I'll buy into the idea that you got to have a center and you want a veteran center. Okay, fine. Go get it. There's a couple of guys. I know Jake's got a piece up at 710sports.com. You can go read it. He's got three or four names, starting with Kelsey. I don't know whether that's a realistic possibility, but okay, there's three guys out there. Go get one. That seems worth your time. I'd spend the other 85% of my money on defense. Give me a pass rusher. Give me defensive linemen. Give me another linebacker. Like, that's where I'm spending my money. Give me a corner.
I was going to say, feel like secondary is okay then, based on that?
I feel reasonably good about your secondary. Assuming you're bringing back Quandre Diggs, yeah, I'm okay.
And Trey Brown, yeah.
I think Trey Brown kind of stepping up. If you want to bring back Sidney Jones, great. DJ Reed, like, I like what you had last year by the end of the year in your secondary, and I think you can work with that. I think Ryan Neal's a good kind of extra guy. If you could find me an upgrade at nickel, I'd be interested in that, right? Another Justin Coleman type. Ugo Amadi's been good, not great. I would absolutely be willing to upgrade there.
Do you still have Marquise Blair?
Yeah,
can you trust him at this point to stay healthy?
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to. How can I? I mean, I like what he does, but no, I probably can't trust him to stay healthy. That just doesn't make any sense. He hasn't done it in the entirety of his career. So I'm spending 85% of my money on defense. What are you doing? 206-421-3776.
Before you get into the calls, can I just say, as we were coming in from break, Justin and I are screening calls through the break, and most of us are saying, like, okay, 40% here, 60% here. I hear Justin screening a call, and he's like, nice. Is it the cold, hard, fluffy snow?
What
is going on
Who
back there?
Who are you talking to? Oh,
Brian and Boise.
Of course you are.
Talking to my Boise. I was like, what's the name of that coffee shop I stopped at downtown? I was like, yeah, it's on my way. I was like, okay.
Like, are you taking personal calls back there?
These are just Justin's friends calling in.
Yeah,
just like,
Brian and Boise's my guy now.
We'll get to Brian in a minute. Let me start off with Corey, who's in Puyallup. Good morning, Corey. What would you be doing?
How you guys doing?
Great, man.
I'd probably spend 60 offense, get that line shored up. A center's not going to fix the whole line, unfortunately. And as I said, the rest 40, you got to re-sign DJ, get a few couple edge rushers in here, and maybe some secondary help as well.
So you're going with a lot of money. You think the offense is where more of the changes need to be made?
Yeah.
So you're looking to say that you need upgrades across the line. So right tackle, guard, center.
I think Waldron didn't really like the line that we had, and I think he liked the backup line better, to be honest.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons, appreciate the phone call, Corey, that I probably don't go in that direction, is that I think what by the end of the year, they kind of found a little bit of something. I don't know whether Phil Haynes is part of the future or not. I don't know if Jay Kern is going to be your future right tackle or not. And certainly you can look to build around some other pieces there. But it seems to me that they kind of liked what they had by the end of the year in a few of those spots. And if you could bring in a real center to kind of direct traffic, that maybe you can get by with a lot of those other things. I do want an offensive line. I'm not saying no money gets spent there. Maybe my 15% was a little low. Maybe it should be 25, 30. Maybe you do need two names on the offensive line. But I'm not spending money there. I'm certainly not. I mean, I'm not spending money on my wide receiving core. I'm not looking to upgrade that. I'm not. I think your weaponry for Russ is just fine. Tight end group, I think, has been fine. Right? I mean, you got a bunch of guys that are sort of the equivalent of Gerald Everett out there. Okay. That's fine. But if I'm looking at where I'm looking to upgrade and looking to make changes, to me, for me anyway, that's all on the defensive side of the ball. Let's grab, you want Brian and Boise? That's your guy. Brian and Boise, he's dealing with the light fluffy snow out there this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Only in the mountains, though. It's not in the valley.
There we go.
Yeah, only in the mountains. And the flying M for you, Justin.
Okay, the flying M.
The coffee shop.
What do you just, okay, I thought you were looking for another dive bar in downtown Boise.
I was going to say, I'll find one of those on my own, but I think a form and function was one of them, too. But okay, go on, get your answer.
All right, so 70-30. So 70 on defense and 30 on offense. 30 is you need some O-line help, like you just said. You need a center, obviously, you know, a tackle, a left tackle. You need to upgrade there. You know, running backs, you probably need to bring in another one just for some protection for yourself. But 70% on that defense, because like Brock said earlier in podcasts and stuff like that, you're not elite anywhere. And yes, you're talking about bringing DJ back and Brown, and you like him and Diggs, but we're not elite anywhere. And so, like you were saying, we want to be elite where? Let's get elite on pass rush. Spend the money on pass rush. Let's get some corners back. Let's, you know, maybe sign a backup linebacker. I mean, I know we're going to get BBK back. That'll help with some of the depth. But I'm with you on a bunch of your points, Mike, in terms of let's spend it on defense. Let's get elite there and then spend some money on offense, like you said, and we can go from there.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brian. It sounds like you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength on this one. You know, it's hard. This is why these things get hard, because for me, I want to spend all that money on defense. And then you get a call like the first one there from Puyallup, and he's like, I want to revamp this whole offensive line. Don't forget the tight end spot. You got to bring back Penny. Like, yeah, all right, those things sound important too, right? Like, this is why there are hard choices that you've got to make in the NFL all the time, because you can't do everything. An exercise like this is about deciding what's most important to you. I've seen Russ figure it out without a great offensive line. I would like them to have one. And if you're spending money on offense, that's where I want it spent. But I think the defense is more important. I think you need to find a way to get back to your elite level of playing defense. That to me is more, not that the other thing's not important and not desirable, but the defense to me is where you have the opportunity to get back to being who you want to be.
Something I've been trying to coach myself out of in thinking about this and these exercises of what I want in play, especially when it comes to personnel, is I need to stop comparing the Seahawks to other teams. I'm like, well, the Chiefs do this really well, so let's do that. I'm like, it's just not that simple. And I used to do it, thinking like, oh, let's just emulate that.
Just hold
a mirror up. It doesn't work.
It's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea. I'm just trying really hard to coach myself out of it. I'm not sure I'm not the only one.
I would encourage you to find a way out of it for two reasons. One, your strengths are different from theirs, so you got to run towards your strengths, not towards somebody else's. But two, when everyone else zigs, you should always zag. In the NFL and in other leagues, if everybody in the league is going to a 4-3 defense, you should go to a 3-4 defense for two reasons. One, it'll be challenging for another team when they see you because they're not used to seeing
practice
it. You will stand out.
Thing, yeah.
But two, the personnel that will be available to you. Let's say there are 30 teams in the league that are running a 3-4 and you're running a 4-3. You want to run a 3-4, okay? And the type of linebacker that you're looking for those two types of defense are completely different. So if you are in the market for a linebacker, and there are 30 other teams that are looking for a 4-3 linebacker, guess what? You might be 30th in line. You're competing with 29 other teams for their services.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a 3-4 linebacker, you might only be competing with one or two other teams. And you can get a significantly better 3-4 linebacker than you can a 4-3 linebacker. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you should always look to zig when other teams are zagging. That's the way to go. That's how you find ways to set yourself apart. Playing copycat only lets you play catch up.
Right, you're a cover band at that point.
Who wants
right.
to do that? Go, you got to go invent something new. That's what makes you special. 206-421-3776. Doo-wop Dave this morning. Dave, we in a good mood? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going 70% offense, and I'll tell you why. That's Russell Wilson's strength. And now when they let Russ cook, what did they do? In 2020, they won what did they win? They
12
won
games.
Yeah, they won 12 games.
I thought you hated Russ. I thought you said he was lucky and he was bad.
Well, you got to go with what they did. They won 12 games.
All right. Well, they won the Super Bowl when they concentrated on the defense.
Well, the defense won the Super Bowl, not Russell Wilson.
Well, that's my point. So why wouldn't you go spend 70% and try to get a defense like that back again?
That's not going to happen. Russell Wilson's too good of a quarterback to you got to go with his strengths. You got to play to his strengths.
Dave, I've never heard you like this. You're like a different human today. Are you okay? You feeling like you get hit in the head?
No, I'm sober.
Well, it seems to be making a difference
for
you. Don't you ever call us sober again. I don't know whether I like this version of Doo-Wop Dave. Let's go
talking about zigging when you zag, man. Doo-Wop Dave.
He's totally thrown me for a loop.
Love it.
Oh, my gosh. Nate's in Oregon. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning. I think we need to go 50-50, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at our season, I feel like we lost more games, not because of our defense. A lot of those games, especially when Russ was hurt and then when he first came back, the defense held us in those games, and it was a lack of offense. It really cost us. So,
but you just said it was while Russell – but hold back, on. But, Nate, you just said it was while Russell was hurt and when he first came back. I mean, like
– well, that was part of it. What about the first – after the first two games before – I mean –
yeah, to me, that's the defense. Like, I think you make up for that with defense. Appreciate the call, and it's a good point. I mean, again,
well, how can you deny the defense scoring wise?
Say that again. No, I didn't hear what you said. I don't know. We kind of lost him at the end there, but I'm not denying that the defense was better than the offense over the course of this year. What I believe is that they're not elite, and that in fact, if you think the defense is better than the offense, run to your strength. Spend even more money there and try to make it an honest-to-goodness dominant unit and let Russ figure it out on the offensive side rather than trying to make trying to shore up every hole. Don't rush to fill up the weakness. Rush to improve your strength.
Kind of goes against the idea of the squeaky wheel getting the grease too, doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah. No, it literally goes against that.
Right. Maybe. So if you're Russ, you're like, hey, I think I need a little more help over here than
right.
they do.
No. You get to go figure it out. You're that good. You're a franchise quarterback. You figure
good.
It out.
Yeah.
We're going to go make sure the defense is dominant and gets done when it needs to. How about Rob? He's going to disagree. He's in Puyallup. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
I'd spend $100 million on the complete offense.
Why?
Well, I say if we shore up the offensive line, if we got ourselves a real good blue-chip running back, say like, if the rumors are true, Alvin Kamara, and kept Rashad Penny in there since he was running really good at the end of the year, we could get back to some hard-nosed football.
I got to tell you, if you're looking to play hard-nosed football, spending $100 million on the offense feels like it's ignoring a part of your $100 million total. Feels like it's ignoring a huge part of that style. If they were to do that, I think you're going in a different direction. You're turning it into a high-octane, you know, basketball-on-grass kind of a system.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's really much wrong with our defense. We need some tweaking here and there, but the majority of our problems is for years has always been our offensive line. Am I wrong?
I totally disagree with you. And it's not to say the offensive line hasn't been a problem. I think it has. But I think the biggest problems the Seahawks have had is that their defense just hasn't cut the mustard. I said it yesterday, talking about it for a while. I think they lost the Rams playoff game last year because of their defense. Didn't force a single turnover. Didn't keep up with what the Rams defense did. And I'm going to say the reason they lost the Dallas playoff game a couple of years ago is the same thing. Their defense didn't get it done. Offense struggled, for sure. But the problems I saw were defensive. That's your opportunity to go get better. Grab one more real quick, Victor and Renton. Go ahead, Victor.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Yeah, just to build on the last guy, I mean, we haven't really been elite on offense since Marshawn Lynch. So I'm with Alvin Kamara. I mean, yeah, we need upgrades here and there, but when Marshawn Lynch was back there, we were killing it on the offense. It's a Pete Carroll system, and we need a stud-type running back who can do a lot of different things like Marshawn could. Look at Joe Burrow. Perfect example. He's got no offensive line. Championship game. So fix the other things, but get a stud running back.
All right, there you go.
Penny proved.
Appreciate
it. Offensive defense works with the stud.
All right, there you go. Victor, he's at the gym running around, apparently, and getting that cardio in while calling the show this morning.
I had a comment at the Kraken game, by the way. Somebody asked me. He's like, oh, I love that caller where he's like, hey, you guys caught me at the gym. I'm like, dude, you called us.
Good stuff. Fun talking to you guys. We'll do it again tomorrow for open phone lines at 9 o'clock. Call about whatever you want. In the meantime, let's go through what you need to know.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, we didn't mention Quandre Diggs too much there. He got hurt in the last game of the season, and plenty afterwards were offering support for a couple of reasons. Of course, the gruesome nature of the injury, but also because he was on the verge for the first time of free agency, and I think folks were worried that his value would be significantly impacted. And I totally agree on the sympathy, obviously, but I never worried about his value. I think it'll remain fairly consistent with what it would have been before the injury. And in fact, Pete Carroll basically said as much when the season ended.
Our message has not changed. I mean, all I can tell you is he's an awesome part of our team, and we'd love to have him with us. So this injury is not going to be one that's going to keep him from playing. So we just got to go through it. And it's unfortunate. It's a really difficult offseason for him for the first three, four months and all that. But he'll get back and get going. We'd love to have him with us.
Yeah, apparently Diggs agrees. Talked to John Boyle, Seahawks.com yesterday. Said he'd like to return to the team, but only at the right price. Here's the quote. No question I want to be back. If we can make it work and it works out for both sides and I feel fairly compensated knowing that I'm a two-time Pro Bowler, got all pro votes, and one of the best, if not the best, free safety in the NFL, I have to be compensated as well. And I feel like I did everything the right way to be compensated. If it works out and they say they want to do it, let's get it done. Here's hoping they do. My prediction, they tag him with the franchise tag, and then they work out some sort of a longer-term deal. They've got the room. They got no other obvious candidates for the tag. He may not get that long-term deal he wants yet, but I don't think it will have anything to do with the injury. It is a mess all over the NFL. Teams are making moves today. Let me see if I can get you caught up. Here's what we know. Starting with the head coaching jobs, the Broncos have hired Green Bay offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Obviously, that's gotten people speculating even harder that Denver will be the most likely landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. It looks like Byron Leftwich is going to go to Jacksonville, and he's going to get his way as Trent Baalke will be let go as the GM there, and they will bring in Adrian Wilson from the Cardinals, of course, former Cardinals safety. And the Bears already got their GM. That was yesterday. They hired Ryan Poles. Today, sounds like they've got a coach as well. Matt Eberflus has been the defensive coordinator with the Colts, known for getting all kinds of turnovers and takeaways in that system. He will be the next head coach in Chicago. And the Vikings don't have a coach yet, but they do have a GM. They hire Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. Guy's been in the game for almost a decade, but he comes from the world of investment analysis and finance. Holds econ degrees from Princeton and Stanford. A really smart, interesting hire. Kind of guy who can really look at this thing from outside the box. And what else am I missing? I feel like, oh, Dan Quinn. I keep forgetting about this one. Dan Quinn
staying with the Cowboys.
Is going to stay with the Cowboys as defensive coordinator. He told all other teams that he will not be interested in leaving and told Jerry Jones that he wants to stay. Something tells me he's just hoping that they fire Mike McCarthy next year and he gets the gig.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
It's been nice to see the union and the league making some progress in Major League Baseball over the course of the last couple of days. And so people have been asking me how I think this plays out. Quite frankly, my answer has shifted quite a bit. First of all, I am a lot more positive about the chances for the season to begin on time. The two sides have been giving each other smoke signals that they're willing to reach a deal. I think that's a good thing. I like it. The other side of this, though, is I think the reason why is that the players are starting to fail. I think they're starting to wilt in their ability to fight this fight. And I think part of the reason why is things aren't the same as they were in the 70s when they built themselves into being one of the toughest, most successful unions, not just in sports, but in the country. The economics of the game were different then. The wealth of the owners were considerably lower in the 70s, even in the 90s during the strike, than they are now. And with the amount of money now in the game, the TV deals, the amount that the owners have and their power, I think that the NFL players are starting to realize they're in a more similar boat to the NFL players than they ever realized. And much like the NFL guys, they find themselves compromising on the big economic issues that could really benefit their membership, and instead kind of looking for the scraps at the bottom of the table. And that's what they're doing by going for a draft lottery and things like that. Kind of about as impactful as OTAs have been in the NFL.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, we still got some time before the hockey trade deadline. We're about the halfway point now of the season. Kraken GM Ron Francis spoke to ESPN's Linda Cohn, told her that he was listening to all kinds of offers on virtually every one of his players. Well, good. If you're of the belief that the expansion draft was a bit of a disappointment, well, this is your next chance. Remake your roster and prepare it for the future. The team just finished off its homestand. They will now head back out on the road in Pittsburgh tonight. We'll see how they look away from Seattle. Busy night in the NBA. Suns kept winning. They get 43 from Devin Booker, beat the Jazz. Ja Morant, 41 for the Grizz as they top the Spurs. Nuggets beat the Nets. DeMar DeRozan just does his thing, and the Bulls beat the Raptors. Miami over New York. Cleveland takes down Milwaukee. Whew, it's everything you need to know. It's a lot going on with all the NFL head coaches. We're starting to see, what, three of those nine positions starting to get filled. The one I'm going to continue to watch for, and look, the Chicago one may impact the Seahawks, depending on what happens and how Matt Eberflus decides he wants to play the defense coordinator thing. They've had talks with Sean Desai. He may be on their list, so that's a possibility. And then I'm still waiting to see what happens in Las Vegas and whether they stick with Rich Bisaccia and if he keeps Gus Bradley around. We haven't seen Gus's name actually linked to the Seahawks as an interview, but I'm still kind of holding out hope that maybe that's a possibility.
I was going to say, G seems to really believe Glenn Hurt's the guy, right?
Yeah, and he may very well be. Yeah, I mean, they may stay close to home and it's Pete's system and just find the right guy who can, you know, explain it to the troops better than Ken Norton was doing. That may be the direction they go.
Excited to talk to him tomorrow. Friday's, first of all, it's Friday. Looking forward to Friday.
Yes, who's
also
not?
Love having G.
Yes.
Love having G.
This is one of those weeks where at the end of the day Monday, Heather and I were like, it's Thursday, right? It's like, no, it's just Monday. Like, how did that happen? How is this week going so slowly? I got another review for you. Another review from the Apple podcast
yep.
page. Yes,
yep.
I've been reading these throughout the day. Thank you. If you have a chance, if you listen to the show online, if you like to get it on demand, sent right directly to your phone, Apple Podcasts is a good way to do it. And we're trying to get to a 4.7 rating there. We're close. We're at 4.6.
Pizza party.
Nice. Yeah, maybe. We'll see. This one comes from Ongoing Battle, who was nice enough to leave a 5-star review. You can write whatever you want. Just leave a 5-star review with it. And he says, you're not my dad. I think you must be too young to remember slamming Sammy Sosa's issues with the cork bats. My guess is that older listeners like me combine that issue with the steroids. That could easily be why he's not gotten the Hall of Fame support. I love when these things become just like a text that we might get or a tweet that somebody would send. Love the show. I do have to give you a very weak 5-star rating, mostly because when I want to listen, the links are in reverse order. I want to listen in 1, 2, 3, 4 hours order, not 4, 3, 2, 1.
We fixed that.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Let's get on that.
We fixed
it. No, you couldn't be my dad, but I could be yours. Keep up the great work. Signed, Principal P.
Principal P.
Principal P. How about that? I like when people are even signing the reviews.
Giving
it makes it very personal.
Oh, nicknames. That's great. I think it's a fantastic idea.
All right. Well, I don't know that they're supposed to be directly to me. The idea is that the review is for somebody new who might be coming to listen to the show, not for me.
Yeah, but it sounds like we have all these inside jokes with people now. I think it's a good idea.
You're confusing people because you just keep pandering and begging.
Well, I don't mind pandering. I'm not above that. I'll get down on my pander and beg. That's fine.
You know.
But I'm just saying,
if they talk directly to you, now they'll get their review read.
That's true. I will read the review whether you pander directly to me or not. That's the point. Pander to the potential listener who you might be able to bring in order to kind of grow this thing and get us some more 5-star ratings. That's what we're looking for. All right, Brock Heward will join me next, and then we'll be ranking things to finish up today. It is the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Heward is my hero.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a burner.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock. How are we doing today?
Good morning. Good. You ready for Aaron Rodgers to be a Denver Bronco? Excited about that?
I think so. Yeah, so that's obviously the rumor with Nathaniel Hackett, his offense coordinator in Green Bay, going to Denver, and it was already sort of rumored. So he wants to win another title. He thinks going to be in a division with Patrick Mahomes is a good way to do it.
And Justin Herbert and maybe Derek Carr.
Yeah, that seems like a good plan.
Yeah, that's good. Go for it.
That seems better than beating the Bears and the Lions.
Right.
Like, what is he doing? And the Vikings. Like, why would he want to do that?
Well, is his fiance still his fiance?
Well, we don't know.
She lives in Boulder, right? I mean, that's a bit.
So you think he's trying to get closer to her? It sounds like they broke up, though. Maybe.
Well, I think they're kind of been on the rocks.
Right. Salk sent us some article the other day from a website I've never heard of before, and I think he's spreading gossip.
I might be. Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. I mean, it was a gossip website that was sent to me.
Well, you know who's dialed in on this stuff.
Howdy?
No.
Oh, who?
The professor.
Oh, yes. I'm sure John will know exactly whether or not Aaron Rodgers and his girlfriend, Shailene Woodley, are breaking up or not.
Yes, he's totally dialed in.
Yes.
And one hour, ladies and gentlemen, you make sure you ask John, hey, what have you heard lately?
John loved her in Big Little Lies.
What? have you heard that Aaron and his lady are on the rocks? Or are they making it work? Because, I mean, if they're still in the fold, you've got to think Denver's close to Boulder.
So do you think he goes? You think he goes to Denver?
I think he's done in Green Bay. I think that loss in Green Bay again, right, in these playoffs. And I think he looked at what Peyton Manning did and obviously in resurrecting and getting the Super Bowls, what Tom Brady has done. And I think there's some significant intrigue there. And they're way over the cap in Green Bay. Green Bay is a better team, as you said, in a much easier division. But as I've said to you, he feels like a tortured artist to me at times. And I think as he kind of looks at the landscape, I believe he'll be 39 or is 39. Mm-hmm. Is there something about, okay, let's fill the gas tank up one more time in a new place that's been down. It's got a very good roster in an amazing city, in a place that I'd much rather live. And who knows, maybe settle down.
All right, let me give you a totally different idea. No one has suggested this. Okay. You have not heard this anywhere. And I don't know whether it would work or not.
Is this like the 5-yard, 10-yard holding run play?
Let me give you a different, that's still a good idea, by the way.
It is.
Let me give you a good landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. And it's a team that has a young quarterback that they could trade back to Green Bay to make it worth it for both sides. Any guesses?
Continue.
The New England Patriots.
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers, Bill Belichick.
Mm.
The Packers get a young quarterback back in Mac Jones, who may very well be good, right? Had a pretty darn good rookie year, was the best rookie quarterback here or in the league this year. Yeah. You got Belichick, who's only got so many years left. He gets to do it with another franchise kind of quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers gets what he wants. He gets an opportunity to try to win a ring in a weaker division, right? Like the AFC East. I know Buffalo's there, but you don't have like every single team that is great.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Who says no to that?
Probably Aaron.
You don't think so? You don't think Aaron Rodgers would want to go do that?
I don't know if two tortured souls works well together. I don't know if he would let him be on with Pat McAfee in the bro tank every week.
Maybe not, but he could take a break of that for a few years to go win a ring, right?
Yeah, he could. He could. I thought actually you were speculating Seattle.
No, I don't see that. No, I don't see that as being a very good fit.
I thought you were speculating that one. Pete Carroll, last couple years.
Yeah.
West Coasty, guy he's known for a long, long time.
I don't see the system fit necessarily and all that. I mean, I guess it's possible. But how much, and I don't know why Green Bay, I mean, they want to bring Russ in who can't play in the cold and has struggled like that.
Right.
But the whole New England thing, I think actually makes some sense. No one is talking about it. Probably won't happen. But I think it's an interesting idea.
Well, I think this time, and I was listening to Schefter this morning, and Schefter basically said, hey, last summer, last August, Aaron Rodgers basically said, okay, yours is the power. I will come. I will not miss a day of training camp. There'll be no more distraction. I will give you the power so that when the winter comes, the power is in my hands.
Mm.
So I will have say. Green Bay and Gutengoost and the Packers organization, it's on your terms. I'll come back. I'll be the good soldier. I'll be the good teammate. But when this season ends and the winter months come, that leverage and that power, contractually and otherwise, comes back to me so I can tell you where I want to finish my career, whether that's in Green Bay and you can get something done. They're way over the cap. They got all sorts of issues. Devontae Adams, a free agent. He's come up short now time and time and time again in the playoffs. Or whether it is a fresh new start in a beautiful place that, you know, has a young team that basically, if you look at what Peyton decided, when Peyton decided, he said, gosh, Tim Tebow was able to win whatever 9 games in a playoff game, and they got a good core, and they got a great fan base, and it's a beautiful place. And so many of those former Broncos, you know, decide to all make their home there. And Peyton's like, yep, I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna resurrect my career. And oh, by the way, there's also speculation, and Peyton Manning was at the playoff game in Green Bay. Lots of rampant speculation that Peyton may be on the new ownership team, and like Elway was to Manning, could Manning be to Aaron Rodgers?
It's an interesting idea for sure. You will not be surprised to learn that of all of the coaches and GMs hired in the last day or so, that one has stood out to me as being the most interesting. That would be in Minnesota. I think this is really fascinating. Have you followed this at all, this Kwesi Adofo-Mensah?
Mildly.
So he has a totally different background, right? Uh-huh. He comes from the world of high finance, went to Princeton, went to Stanford, econ, business degrees, worked on Wall Street, business analyst role, all that stuff, and then went to go work for the Niners and then the Browns. And they hired this like super smart dude to come in and be their GM. I love it. I just love the outside the box nature.
Yes, I'm sure John will as well. Again, a great conversation, because that's not the guy that was with the Browns, right? That did all the trades.
No, it was not. No. It was at Paul DePodesta when they brought him in from baseball.
Yes.
Remember they brought in Paul DePodesta? I think he still works there. They brought him. He's the guy from Moneyball. They brought in Paul DePodesta. It didn't work.
How much did John hate everything?
But some of that was just because it was the Browns. I'll be curious to know if he feels the same way about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah.
Well, we'll
the guy's
what,
got Mensah in his name. For
we
God
will
sake.
See. We will see what that head coaching hire then is, right?
Yeah.
The direction he goes and how creative it is. You've seen and heard Dan Quinn is like a candidate in five different spots.
Yep.
And Leftwich looks like, I think Homeboy was going to go down to Hackett was going to go to Jacksonville today for a second interview. And that is when Denver said, no, he's our guy. Let's go get this thing done. Don't get on that plane. Let's wrap this thing up. So I will be, very curious after the old guard. Mike Zimmer is about as old and crusty and in the old school NFL. The Wilfs family, I think, fairly innovative. The Wilfs
did an innovative hire.
They did.
So now they're going to hire
some business stuff.
They're going to go to Berkeley and hire some hippie to be their next head coach.
Or after maybe going they bring back Mike Zimmer. Grant. You know, he can still wear the polos when it's 0 degrees.
Pete would love that.
you never know.
Quickly here, last thing for you, because I'm going to talk to Jesse Jones in a minute. But a question I'm going to ask the people later. If the Seahawks had $100 million to spend this offseason, I know that's not the right number, but it's easy to kind of make percentages out of.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage would you spend on the offense? What percentage would you spend on the defense?
Ooh. I would spend 65% on the defense.
Okay.
And 35% on the offense. I would make sure that I get a couple of the very best players, impact players. Pete even said it. Heck, Pete said at the end of the year, we need more star power. Star power is more splash plays, more flashy plays, more impact plays. You need that. And I think there's more of that is in need defensively within your front seven. As we talked about on the podcast yesterday, if there is one thread through these final four playoff teams, right, it's not where they drafted their quarterback. It's not necessarily, age of head coach, though. There's a bunch of offensive minds. I think the single biggest thread through all the four remaining teams is how dominant their front four defensively can be. And when you won a Super Bowl and you did it at the beginning, that group got you some 50 sacks and 39 takeaways and had impact and splash players.
Totally agree. By the way, some new news, breaking news coming out just while we were talking. The Bears have made their choice as a head coach. They are going with Matt Eberflus, so another defensive guy. So, right, defensive guy, Matt Eberflus.
Younger defensive guy, Indianapolis, well thought of. Done a good job there with that Colts
so
D.
Bears go defense, Broncos go offense. We continue to wait to see what the Seahawks do with their defensive coordinator. And maybe this has a bearing on that based on the fact that they were interviewing Sean Desai, who has been the defense coordinator there in Chicago.
True.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk later. It's fun podcast yesterday.
You're going Jesse?
I haven't talked to Jesse since we started the show.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And he's a big golfer too, right?
Well, like huge golfer.
Yeah.
Golf guy, wine guy, football guy. Yeah, Jesse, news guy, obviously. Jesse's kind of a renaissance man, I guess
you
would
say. This will be good.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. All right, see you, buddy. We'll talk later. There's Brock Heward. Yeah, we do that every morning, 7:45 and 9 o'clock, of course. And if you miss Jesse Jones as well, you can go find that on the podcast page, either 710sports.com, or just go subscribe at Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. All right, we've got a great ranked today. Justin and I have been working furiously. Moore is looking at us with some level of disgust. But it's built on a very important day this week, so that is next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list, I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, let's go. We are going to rank things. That's how we finish up every show on the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle. Justin pointed out that this week we have National Kazoo Day.
Yeah, tomorrow is a big one. National Kazoo Day. Can you believe it?
We couldn't wait till tomorrow because tomorrow we're going to give you guys the chance to create your own list,
Speaking
right? That's Fridays.
Kazoo. They did this at the Kraken game. They did like a name that tune kind of thing where, you know, for during one of the breaks. And they have an electric kazoo.
Okay.
And somebody saying, don't stop believing on it. And their friend had to guess what it was
that
to win whatever
easy.
Prize.
Were they able to do it?
She was having a really hard time with it.
Ah, that's tough.
But it was a very cool idea.
All right. Well, with that in mind, we thought we would rank top five songs that use non-traditional instruments.
Yeah.
So, no, not talking guitar, bass, drums, keyboards. You got to go outside the box. Now, you can have those things, but you feature another instrument besides them. So, we did not have any didgeridoo songs, although we tried to come up with a good Australian didgeridoo.
Maura, by the way, doesn't believe a didgeridoo is a real thing. She thinks that's a fake word.
I was like, that sounds like something you say when you're like, you know, and you can't think of a word, and you go, the didgeridoo.
The thing of a jig, the didgeridoo.
It's a long wooden instrument from Australia. No vocoder songs. To me, that's almost part of the guitar.
This whole category.
So
this
no
is
Peter
all
Frampton. Not going Kickstart My Heart with a vocoder.
What's a vocoder?
It's the thing that kind of makes your voice sound like it's going through a wah-wah pedal.
What's a wah-wah?
She's going to ask.
All right, I won't keep going. But I really don't know.
Bon Do you know Jovi's any Peter Frampton? Vocoder. Do you know like Frampton Comes Alive?
I don't think so.
Good time. He like sort of sounds like he's mechanized.
Sounds scary.
It's not scary. It's just a vocoder. And Stairway to Heaven could probably be on the list as well because of the flute. But here you go. Top five songs that use non-traditional instruments, starting with number five. I'll go back with The Who. This uses two, and I like kind of the combination of the jew's harp and the harmonica. Brilliant,
so strange.
Right there. Definitely the best Jew's harp song I could come up with.
Jew's harp. Yeah. It's kind of a strange name.
Very strange. That's what it's called.
Jew's harp.
I don't know why it's called that. Number four, we'll stick with British bands that were incredibly successful. The Beatles using the sitar in Norwegian Wood. Of course, John would have gotten into the sitar.
Oh, did you watch the Beatles thing on Disney Plus?
Not yet. I keep meaning to.
You should.
Do they go through his love with the sitar?
Goes through every phase of the Beatles in that. Well, not every. Goes through a lot of the phases in the Beatles. It's great.
All right. Well, that's number four is Norwegian Wood with the sitar. Number three, I mean, it's amazing how many of these songs come from humongous bands, right? And really brilliant songwriters.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about, you know, obviously The Who, fantastic songwriters. McCartney and Lennon, and Brian Wilson is right there near the top of any songwriting list, and he went with the, what do we call this thing? An electrotheremin?
A theremin? It's not theremin, I'm not sure.
For good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good vibrations. You know what else the song has? A little bit of harmony.
Yeah. This, I remember hearing this as a kid, just when I was learning how to play guitar and thinking it was a guitar sound and spending hours trying to figure out where I could play it on the guitar. It's just never going to happen
for me.
That's
not going to work.
It's trials of a 12-year-old kid with a broken collarbone.
That's not a guitar.
Nope.
What
didn't
a great
happen.
Song, though.
Fantastic.
Is that the best Beach Boys song?
It's my favorite. You had three in a different
God,
rank
there's
that
so
we did.
Many,
like,
man. I love the Beach Boys. I love almost every Beach Boys song. Heather and I played Wouldn't It Be Nice at the end of our wedding, too.
Oh, that's actually pretty great. When you, like, walked good. Down back?
No, like when we left. At the end of the night, as everybody was leaving the party, we played that. It was great.
Oh.
It was the last song.
Interesting.
All right, number two, we are ranking songs that use non-traditional instruments. This one obviously became very famous for its use of the cow. Uh-oh, hold on, I screwed this up. This one became very famous for its use of the cowbell.
All the times have come.
We had a lot of people here, Maura, saying that they own didgeridoos, and they're happy to bring them into the studio if we want to see them.
Great. I need to learn.
Do you resent why this song's famous? Because it features Will Ferrell, who I was
assuming
you also
hate. Great. No, I don't hate Will Ferrell.
That's how I know this song.
No,
I got a fever.
So wait, you don't know the song other than that?
I didn't before that.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you sure that was sounding okay? I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
You know, when you watch the SNL sketch, it's like so much more. It features so much louder.
Well,
it's
and so the belly better. Is so great in the sketch, and just Fallon cracking up. No, I was watching that sketch live. I don't hate Will Ferrell. I don't love him when he goes over the top all the time. I like him when he's a little more subtle. But I like Will Ferrell. I wouldn't say I don't like him.
Okay.
And then finally, and for anybody who's listened to the Brock and Salk show for any amount of time, this will not surprise you. The number one song, because in general, songs with bagpipes are better than songs without. Pretty obvious, right? Most songs should have bagpipes. I think Brock and I ended every Friday show during football season for like 2 years with this song.
Oh, nice. Yeah, this is fantastic. This is tough to argue, and we're probably going to get texts of other songs with bagpipes now, but this was the best.
There's plenty of other good songs with bagpipes, but I think that's the best song with bagpipes. Especially because it's not like an Irish band, or, you know, like they're not, I guess they are a Scottish band, but they're not doing like Irish or Scottish music that specifically is supposed to feature a bagpipe.
Can I present an off the board?
Yeah. It's a good recorder,
it's
I guess.
It's something.
I'm surprised it didn't make the list. This is number 6. Sorry, got left out. Stick around for Jake and Stacey. Maybe that could be their new intro. We'll catch you guys tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, goodbye.